What does the Bible teach about cremation? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and welcome Pete Alwinson to these microphones, as always.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. Better than you are. I'm not a pastor. but I also know how busy your schedule is, and that you would take time to do this is it means I owe you big time. Mm-hmm. Thanks for doing it. Guys, we love, and by the way, Pete comes in usually on Fridays, and we answer your questions. We love to get your questions, but you have to write them down. Don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for your questions. You can ask them. You just won't get an answer. You can get the pamphlets free. You can get the tapes free. You can get the magazine free. You make a contribution. But got to write the question down. Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address if you want a response. And you always do get a response. And we really genuinely love to get your questions. Try to limit it to 1 to 3. Some of you guys send us 18 pages with 4 bazillion questions. And we do our best, but, you know, we're not that big a ministry around here. And our library is good, but it's just mixed up. And so you try to keep it within a reasonable limit. And as I said, you always get an answer. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll turn to some of these questions.
We need prayer.
We need prayer bad.
Let's pray. Father, we do need to be in your presence. We need you more than we even know. And so we come to you today, and we praise you. We thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you are doing right now, the things that you are doing behind the scenes for us and for your glory and honor. It is a privilege to be caught up in your plan for the universe, and we're grateful to be your daughters and your sons. And we know we're your sons and daughters because of what Christ has done for us as he suffered and died for our sins. And Lord, we thank you for the faith that you've given us in him. And because of that, we're forgiven and we're yours. We're declared not guilty for our sins. And we're free. Help us to live free, Father. And help us to take all of the promises that are ours as your children and live them out boldly in this world. We thank you for the opportunity, worship, and we look forward to doing that this weekend. And Lord, stand with and work through our leaders, our priests and pastors and their families, pastors' wives and kids, as they are in the forefront in a very visible ministry. Encourage them. Cause them to know your blessing and your calling on their life. We commit ourselves to you now as we look at these questions and pray that you would provide the answers for our hearts as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This is from Texas, Pete. What does the Bible teach about cremation?
It doesn't, as far as I know. The Bible doesn't say anything about it.
Question is an email.
So what are the biblical... Well, I mean, there's fire in the Bible. You know, and Dan, you're going to start teaching Daniel at some point here. And in Daniel, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Is that a passage having to do with cremation?
No, they didn't get a hair of their head singed.
That's right. So are there any, so there really isn't any direct teaching on it. Are there any biblical principles that come to mind that you think of about
this?
Well,
you know, I think most people worry about it because they think, you know, the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in the resurrection of the body, and mm-hmm. they think God would have trouble getting us back together if we, but I think that's a red herring. What cremation does is that it does faster what Mother Nature does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. And one theologian years ago said that the resurrection of the body is not a molecule-by-molecule resurrection. It's a whole new work of God.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need to worry about that.
No, and if you're Roman Catholic, I think there are some restrictions about that, and you need to listen to your own church and do at that point. But I think for those of us who are Protestants, there's no strong biblical thing about it, and I don't have any problem with it.
Mm-hmm. I don't either.
You know, after you go, your wife could keep you in the closet. You know, if they don't cremate you, you know, you got to go out in the cold wind. So maybe there's something to be said.
You're going
to
get a letter about that.
Oh, I know.
So while we're going to get a letter about that, you've seen the movie Meet the Family, or Meet the Parents. When that scene about when the,
I didn't see it.
When the grandmother's urn gets knocked off. Oh, it's hysterical. But no, I really don't think there's any biblical teaching against that.
Okay. Where was Jesus for the 3 days when he was dead? That's an email.
Well, he said to the thief on the cross,
today,
you will be with me in paradise.
But that depends on where you put the comma.
Yeah.
He said, today you will be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
Or he said, comma, today you will be with me in paradise.
And there are no commas in the original text.
I know.
So what is it?
Well,
Where is it?
I think your understanding of that is certainly right. But there are some indications. First Peter, I'm working on that now for a thing at the Cove. There's in 1 Peter 3, and then also in 1 Peter 4, it says, in which he went and preached to the prisoners, and then they make reference to Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1 Peter 4, that's why the gospel was preached even to the dead.
So what do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's God's little joke. He said, you think you got it all figured? I'm going to throw this in just to remind you I'm God.
Yeah.
And you're not.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, there are various interpretations of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that believe that was a time when Jesus went to the prison and did preach to those in prison. There are those who, with me and you, would say, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a sense in which he was in heaven at that point. We say descended into hell, and there are a number of interpretations of the Apostles' Creed at that point.
Yeah, it's true. That could mean that he descended into hell when he was separated from the Father on the cross, or it could be another time. But
who knows?
It's a tough one.
What's that story about the little girl who is approached by the atheist who wants to destroy her faith and says, You really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big old fish? And she said, yes, sir, I really do believe that. And she said, but I'll ask Jonah when I get to heaven. And the atheist said, but what if Jonah isn't in heaven? The little girl said, well, then you can ask him.
That is
we'll good. Find out. We'll find out when we get there.
That's right.
Okay, what does the Bible teach about tithing? Does God understand when we fall short? That's from Florida.
Well, let me ask the second one. Yes, God understands when we fall short in the area of tithing. And, you know, I do think that that's one of those principles of the Old Testament that clearly carries through to the New. I mean, Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it.
Sure.
And so I think it just continues, and the New Testament presupposes the practice of tithing. It adds all kinds of other principles of tithing. But it never was a means to salvation. It is not now a means to salvation. It is an act of stewardship to do. God intends for us to live on 90% of our income.
If I came to you and said, Pete, I lost my job. I've got bills up to my ears. I've got about $40 left, which is my tithe for this week. How do you feel? What should you do?
Oh, come on.
You'd tell him to go get groceries, wouldn't you?
I would tell him to go eat, man.
I would too. But I would think in my heart, if we had enough faith, I think God would honor that.
Yeah.
But man, I'm not gonna lay that on somebody else.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's really balanced. I don't hardly ever teach on giving just for giving's sake, but one time I was doing a sermon and I was talking about that. And afterwards, this guy who had moved to our town and was a minister said, went home and he said, honey, we haven't been tithing and I'm going to write the check. She said, I don't have the faith. I'm going to write it. you write it if you, and so he did. He wrote the check for the tithe and then he went to work the next day. And, she called him and said, we got a check in the mail.
You hear stories like that all the time. My mother said, when I asked my mother when she became a Christian, my mother was the most godly in the most earthy way of any person and had a tremendous effect on my life. I said, Mom, when did you become a Christian? She said, when I decided to tithe.
Yeah.
And so we used to have a cup in the cabinet in the kitchen. And when I came back from the collections on a paper route, man, 10% of it went in there.
That's good. So you got it early.
Oh, I really did. And
I'm going to check your tithing records at the church.
Yeah, right. Well, I think you'll find. But she also said, after my father died and she was doing okay financially, she said, son, I really believe the reason I am, not because there's a direct correlation, but I think God has been faithful.
Yeah.
And I have lunch with a guy today, just before we came in here and recorded this, who said, I've always been tight-fisted, and my wife told me we gotta be more open. Mm. And he said, I started to tithe, and he said, Steve, I'm doing better than I've ever done before.
Isn't that something? Yeah, it's the only time God says, Malachi 3 says, test me. In the Old Testament, in Numbers, the Israelites tested him, and he cut them down like flies. But this is the one area where it's cool. He said, test me, I'll show you that I'll come through for you.
You know, when I was in Miami, there's a church, and I know the name of the church, and I'm not going to bring it up, but where a guy was told that by his pastor and it didn't happen, and he sued the church in court.
Oh, man.
Said, I was made this promise, I gave all this money, and now I'm poor, and somebody's going to pay.
Wow.
So it's not we're not making an absolute promise, but we're just saying this is generally the way the world works.
Well, right. And some Christians, teachers, don't have integrity when they teach on this. They're saying, you know, sort of a one-to-one correspondence. You give your money to our ministry, and God will take care of you. Well, that's not necessarily the case.
Well, don't speak so fast. Maybe he will.
If it was our church and Key Life, then yeah, but you know.
I honestly, one of our staff people showed me a envelope of a fundraiser from a ministry that had check places on what you wanted.
Huh.
Like a new car, a new job, a new thing, and if you gave seed faith, then you would get.
Yeah.
They would pray and you would get that. And that's highly manipulative.
Oh, it is. It is. I might not be about. Did their ministry prosper?
No, I don't think so.
You wouldn't go that way, huh?
You know, I'm glad for the tithe on the other side, too. You know, there are times when I've been caught up in it and wanted to give everything away.
Mm.
And God says, no, wait. Mm. I want. You know, if you've got a lot, then give more than a tithe. Mm. But I don't want you walking around feeling guilty all the time. Dude, we got to go.
All right, man.
Will you come in next week?
I'll be here.
Hey, listen, whenever you write or call Key Life, be sure and give us the call letters of the station where you hear Key Life. And oh, yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.